July 14, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Arad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.maradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Genesis 11, 1 to 7, one language Babel. Don't think of yourself as a physical creation because you were before the physical creation. The physical creation comes up from the earth, out of the earth. The earth produces minerals, plants, and flesh. The earth produced your flesh so that you will have a place to dwell in, a place to come into. In the beginning, we were formed right according to the Holy Quran and Bible, but we went off from that right way of thinking and began thinking foreign to the way of our very nature. Once you begin thinking foreign, strange, or unnatural, you begin to entertain foreign, strange, and unnatural ideas and thoughts. What comes about when this happens is a new language. Genesis 11, 1 to 7, one language, Babel. The Holy Quran in the Bible says that once the people were one people and their language was one language. What does this mean? It means that once they had truth coming to them, once their society, their community was filled with the language of truth, it was the language of truth that formed them in the vessel we call physical body. So they walked aright because they were formed rightly, but something happened and they went astray from the right course and lost their ability to speak right language. Their language was no longer the word of God. It was the word of grafted creation. So when the word of the grafted went into the new vessel coming from its mother, it made a grafted person in that vessel. So Jesus said that as a man thinketh, so is he. So if we could take the time, we could show you and bring you to agree with us that every person is formed, created, or made in the physical body by words, language. Words bring message to the mind. What do we mean by language? Look at the number one and the number two. You may not call these words, but in God's wisdom, I'm writing words. These numbers are seen as words even in the wisdom of the wise of this world. A word is that which brings a message to your mind. Everything that I am doing is bringing a message to your mind. So you don't call these words, but they are. What you're doing now is getting words. So when the baby comes from the mother, the eyes open and the baby sees something when the eyes are open. Without a word being spoken to the child, the child has received many words. The images that the child sees are words going into the mind of the child. Everything in your environment is words speaking to your mind, forming you in the body. The book you read, the language of your parents, the talk you heard in the home, the words you heard in the streets, the physical things that you look at and thought about, the physical things that you look at and didn't think about are all words. All these things have acted as words, going into your mind, forming you. And they are forming you for as long as you live in this world. The process of making or forming human beings never stops. It goes on all the time. So if you don't want yourself to be created ill, we bid ugly or disease forms, you have to get wise to the language of the environment that starts collecting and start selecting the things that you want to go into your mind. All praises are due to Allah. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 6, creates you in the womb of mother. Mother equals community. Say he creates you in the womb of your mother, and the woman is put away in five wraps. Or it's wonderful. Yes, this mother is our community. So we know what we are talking about is community life. And what gives form and structure getting to community life, the application of the five senses directed, guided, and protected by God. You aren't going to get it up there. You're going to have to dunk it again if you just keep looking up there. So the Quran Surah 3, Ayah 6, shape you in the womb of your mother. The Quran Surah 64, Ayah 3, made Surah pictures features. So human pictures identity and the shaping there is given as a picture how we are formed in the womb of our mother. It says, and he is the one who made our Surah singular here, but uses our looks in a singular, not in the plural. And God says that he made that picture most excellent. So the human picture that God created, first God made human, and then he made white, black, red, yellow, male, female, all this you see. So the human picture is the true picture for all the different races. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 6, shape you in the mother's womb. If the mother is not original, the child will be made artificial. He will nurse artificiality. Well, Allah says also that he made the human like clay. If you would devote your intellect, not your heart, not just your spirit, devote your brain, intellect to God with complete submission, God will bring the genes of your body containing that orientation in it, and that will be passed to your children, and your children will grow to bigger dimensions. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 6 creates you in the womb of your mother. He gives us this distinction, distinct pictures. He gives us those while we are in the womb of our mother. He says that means here on earth, he gives us these pictures that distinguish us one from another. And God says, the most honorable of you says. So the Quran Surah 3, Ayah 6, create you in womb as pleases. So we have many pictures because God says we are given our picture in the plural while we are in the womb or in the stomach of our mother. And in our picture, while we are in the womb or in the stomach of our mother, that's the physical picture, right? All of us get our physical picture in the womb or in the stomach of our mother. That's where we get our physical picture. That physical picture is it formed there. Nothing goes there but a little microscopic thing that are placed in the mother, and she is a factory that turns out the beautiful child. So if you look in the mirror at yourself and you don't like what you see, forget about that. That is not the important picture. The important picture is one God made, and He made that we all have the same. It doesn't look different for any of us. It is all the same for all of us. And that human being in his excellent condition that God wants us in. So the human being in the excellent condition that God wants him in is the common picture for all of us. Now, if we would put importance on the common picture and not on the separate pictures, we would have no real serious race problem. So fetus in womb is pure, has spirit. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 6, Allah creates you in the womb as he pleases. Hadith, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Psalms 51:5, original sin conceived in womb. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So life is premortal in the inborn as spirit and purity. The inborn child pure and had a spirit and don't think. The spirit ain't in the child. The child is in the mother. And the spirit is in the child already. Receive another spirit when it comes out here. Breath of air of the world. But in the mother, it has also spirit. In fact, when life is conceived in the womb, the life has spirit. The spirit is the first life. The life has spirit and has purity. And a sign of this purity is that when the baby is born, science only could tell us this. It has about 6 months immunity to most diseases that will get us. 6 months immunity. 6 months immunity. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Life is acquiring knowledge. Life is acquiring knowledge. We want to understand our human life. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to express to you what I have extracted from Revelation so that we will be able to understand better human life. Life is acquiring knowledge. So if you're not trying to acquire knowledge, you are not trying to learn anything. You're not rationally curious. You're dead. To which the prophet and the messenger of God, Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. So what is that telling us? How you are going to tell a baby that's in the cradle, seek knowledge? That's not for the baby. In the cradle, that is for us. That is to tell us that God has created you from the time that you are delivered from your mother with a brain, with an intelligence that seeks knowledge. That's what to know. And I have seen that in newborn infants. Once their eyes open up, you can see them looking at you with a curiosity. The first sign of life in the mind is curiosity, wanting to know. God created us to know. So the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that in his expression is a reference to a definition of human life given before this time. Before the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him time in Holy Scripture, to understand this whole human body is to be seen as the medium for our mental activity and our mental needs. The mouth for intake, food, whatever, water, thirst, taste, to distinguish and to select things that we prefer to go down, to go into the body to be digested and preparation, chewing and whatever, chewing, and the acid in the stomach or in the mouth helps prepare the food to go down the throat, to be taken down into the stomach for further preparation and digestion so that it can be put into the bloodstream. Then the bloodstream takes it to all parts of the body. So even your hair is fed by your blood. Go to any hair specialist, pardon me, you know people who treat diseases of the hair, and they will tell you that the hair will not be healthy and it will not grow if it doesn't get blood to the surface of the skin. Blood has to come up to the skin for the hair to be healthy. So that's why it's good to stand on your head, brothers. So when you're exercising and you know how to stand on your head, weighing as much as I weigh, lose about 20 pounds before you stand on your head. But standing on your head is good for hair growth up here. After you lose it all, don't bother, too late to catch it. But our prayers has been given to serve our whole life, not just our spirit and mind. Our prayers has been given to serve our whole life. When you make ruku, you're bringing blood to your head. It's healthy for you. When you make sajda, bringing even more blood to your head, it's healthy for you. Now so much for that. Senses and whole body serves brain perception. However, the senses and the whole body serves human perception, though we know we have the sense of taste, sense of hearing, sense of smell, sense of sight, sense of feeling. We have these five senses. But the whole body serves the need and the brain for perception. So the life of the body is, quote, the lifeblood, the lifeblood. So the whole body is the life. But what life is feeding the whole body? The lifeblood, and that comes from scripture, not the Quran, the book, the Bible, and other scriptures. Not only other scriptures, statements from philosophers that didn't call themselves religious, but they were. They didn't understand it then. They also have given blood as the life of the body. So spirit is seen in activity and production. Spirit is seen in activity and production. Spirit is seen in activity and production. So you say you've got spirit. I don't see no activity. You say you've got spirit. I don't see your production, what you produce. You've got spirit. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 6, made features in womb. So I give you your picture more than one. When you are in the womb of your mother, right? I give you your picture more than one when you are in the womb of your mother. So we come out African, Chinese, and Asian, Nigerian, Guyanian, whatever, all of these. So the Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 6, God formed us in the womb of our mother. So God says he formed us in the stomach or in the womb of our mother to give us the form. So the form is first, isn't it? The life in the mother was a life dependent upon her. The life outside of the life of independence. But we have to grow step by step into that life. The immediate delivery is not independent except for separation from her body, not a dependency on her physical body anymore. So we start to be dependent upon the second mold. So the first mold, the mother, the second one is this world out here. We are shaped in our mothers, and then we are delivered in time as God planned it. And we are delivered into this world, another mold to shape us. So we are formed the first time without our consciousness, awareness of it. So we had not awareness of ourselves being formed, or for form we were taking. Then we were delivered into this world. Then the next mode, we learned about the first one. So where I was, how I was formed, yes. And this is the world for us to have our individual responsibility for our own life, or I say relative independence. So life, God creates it, so give it back him. So the life is for God. That's the point. We must give our life to God, the God that gives us our life. And the means for keeping our life, we must give our life to him. It's nothing short of that. He asks nothing less than that. We give the life to him. My personal life must be lived for God. So the Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 7, Men of Understanding. Allah reveals secrets to whom he pleases. Who are the logical, obey, men who have first knowledge? It's a rational mind that is pure, innocent, and logical mind. It's first innocent and pure. Then later it becomes corrupt in the world. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 7, Ul-Albay, people of the original knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that no one gets the hidden meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that knows the hidden meaning. And another place, the only one to get it, is Ul-Albay, or either it becomes, it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing, or Ul-Albay. Ul-Albay means the people of the original knowledge who got the original knowledge, people blessed with the original knowledge who are blessed with the first principle, the essence. Though we are blessed with the essence, when you are blessed with the essence, it's like keys and you can unlock the mystery. Ul-Albay is more than men of understanding. They understand because they got something that nobody else got. Babe simply means door or gate or study or chapter. Ul-Albay means that they got the very first one, the very first knowledge, the one that Moses was questioning. He said that was Melchizedek. I could agree with him, but that is a bad way to put Moses. Bad like to put Moses in, because Melchizedek means the spirit of truth. And if the spirit of truth was not obeyed by Moses, looks like Moses was disobedient. Imam Kamaluddin, I heard you referred to as the nature as Melchizedek. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, that's right. Imam Kamaluddin, the nature that one, you rise up in the human being after he, Melchizedek, is nature transmitted to conscience. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the original nature, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the original nature, is Melchizedek. But only when that nature is consciously being transmitted, when that nature is truly being transmitted in the right way, and truly purity is being transmitted to the conscience, that's Melchizedek. Yes, sir. And Moses did have trouble following that. Moses was a man given to the temperamental outbursts. And God says in the Quran that that was before his conversion or before his prophethood. and remind those, pardon me, who charged him with being that way, that was before his prophethood. The trip of him and the wise man was before his prophethood. So nature awakens conscience, which improves nature. So once he got the understanding, Melchizedek, he said, it's on you, your conscience. It has entered your conscience. It shows you how the conscience is supposed to be the leader. The nature is supposed to awaken the conscience only. But once the conscience is awakened, then it's supposed to study the nature improved upon the matter, the nature, pardon me, and to free the nature, to give greater freedom, the nature. So it begins to prepare a place for the nature, a greater place in the world, a more dignified place in the world for the nature. But it can't do anything until first it gets life. Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Yes, that's right. Now he finally saw when he told him how many times the Kijwa told him Moses, Khadir, pardon me, told him Moses. He told him three times. Yes. See, that's the key, the number of times he told him. The third time meant that now it has entered into your spiritual conscience. See, nature tries to awaken us. Nature tries to awaken us, nature itself, through flesh. But that is not where it wants to get. It wants to get into the consciousness. So it finally comes up into the intellect, right? And the intellect is blind a lot of times, can't see it. But finally it gets through the intellect into the conscience, and once it gets there, that's it. You take it from there. So nature will knock on your rational mind forever. But once it enters your conscience, if you don't pay attention to it, it just slips right on out of the way. If that's what you want to go on. So the conscience means that really you have recognized it. When once a thing enters your conscience, you have recognized it. You have accepted it. Yes, sir. Whether you understand it or not, you have accepted it. So once you have accepted it, it is your responsibility. So once you accept it, it's your responsibility. So the wrong can be in your habit. Wrong can be even in your rational thinking, but you won't be punished for it. But once it enters your conscience, a lot of people do wrong, but they do it because their intellect can't see the evil. So when the intellect sees the evil, that means it has entered. So nature made a mother to birth the conscience. So isn't that wonderful how nature has made a mother, and we call it Mother Nature? Nature is our mother. Mother isn't going to care for you always. She's going to care for you until you're responsible. If you aren't responsible, it is your fault. I taught you right. So Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, Quran verse basic allegorical. Allegorical mustahabihat means it resembles and explains. So the one term here in this translation, allegorical, is a subject of dispute in certain circles of the Islamic scholars. Many of them object to the translation allegorical. The English term allegorical means describing, casting, representing, putting in picture that is abstract or that is referring to function, relationships, etc. Putting in picture that which is abstract picture forms to better convey the idea of the mind. So that is in a simple statement is what allegorical means. Now, with that particular translation of this word in Quranic Arabic, mustahabiha, so they have difficulty with it. So if I say something, yes, Ben, using same word in the present tense verb from something, yes, Ben, it means it resembles that. But this word, mustahabiha, is a very sensitive and technical expression. It doesn't mean just a simple resemblance or a symbolic representation. It also means that it is what you call the word analytical. Analytical means something that it is not only conveying the picture of symbols, but it also explaining something. So resikona means firmness, deep knowledge. Now the term resikona is a plural form of a kind of non-verb. If you can understand that terminology, for one person, it would be resiko or resika. And it says that these resikonas, they say all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this telling us? It is telling us, drawing our attention to the tendency in the studious, ambitious student, some people caught up in a metaphorically esthetism, secret doctrine, the tendency in them is to grab concepts and run with them thinking that they got it all. So this is what this is addressing. And those people who do that, they run to the beach and they look for the deepest water and they dive off the pier that is in front of the deepest water possible for them. And they go off into and they try to swim. And instead of going in the modern water first and see if you can swim in that. So if you can swim in that, then take off into the deep water. So you know that will be safe. So it refers to people like that. And they are not grounded in knowledge. What is the meaning of grounded in knowledge? Here again, we have a problem finding a term that would do justice to the Arabic term, resikuna fil alam. So what do we mean by grounded in knowledge? Resikun is a word that carries with it not only firmness but depth. Those who have depths of knowledge, deep knowledge, those who have roots of knowledge, those who have etymological science. Now, how many understand that who is telling me what I should say, who is teaching me every time they get a chance? How many have that kind of understanding? Only a few people have that kind of understanding, and it takes long study to get that kind of understanding, and it takes a blessing of God. God rewards your long search and the blessings of Almighty God. So I just want to let a couple of the people know here that because I don't reply back to you, don't think I don't hear you. I hear you. And I'm the imam here. And don't want to get excited. I'm the imam here, and I'm the leader of this community, so I don't want you here. I can tell you to go anytime I get ready. That's right. So don't think I don't see you. I hear you. I do. But you're welcome to stay here. You can't make any trouble for me. So resikuna, persons comfortable, not tense, with the knowledge. So this word resikuna also means that the person is comfortable with his knowledge. Those who are all tense and tight with their knowledge, they can't be rusty coons. If you are the rusty coon, you are not uptight. You're not rigid. You're not an iceman. If you're really a rusty coon now, you're relaxed. You're comfortable with your knowledge, you see. Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. So I'm a kind of different teacher, you know. I don't know what to expect when you come here. Maybe you expect me, who is going to come out and rail on people for being in sin. Maybe some of you think you're going to come out and hear somebody conform to the formalities of the intellectual orator. I don't know what you expect when you come here for the first time. So maybe when you come here and you see me, you say, what is this? He doesn't know what he's doing. He hasn't got it together. Well, I'm a man like this. I like to be comfortable. Sometimes I have something on my mind and I want to rush right to it and get it over. And sometimes I want to just relax. So why can't I be myself? So I prefer just to be myself. So I'm not rushing. I'm relaxing. I'm not taking it easy. I'm just taking it easy, pardon me. I'm being myself as always. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, Yu'el al-Bayt, men of understanding. Yu'el al-Bayt, Bayt means the door, but when you put it in the language, it doesn't mean door. It means more than door. And Yu'el means first, and al-Bayt means the door. So the first door or the first of the doors. The door in the singular, but you could say the first of the doors. Of the first door, men of the first door. And it means men of moral logic, of the logic governing how we should behave. That's the first door. Men who are devoted to the reasoning and the logic that governs how human beings are to behave. I said morals, but it is a little bit more than just morals. And that's a logic that evolves naturally, and it was the first exercise of reasoning for human beings. First thing they wanted to deal with was human behavior. Because if human beings, if they don't accept some discipline for their behavior, how can they then perform in any field of discipline if they can't discipline themselves? So it is the first door. Is that not right? So it is the first door. Men of the first door, it also means possessors. UL, it could mean possessor. They are owners, possessors of the door. By certain reasoning, owners of the door. So they are the first at the door. And because they are first at the door, they are owners of the door. So this is philosophical language, reasoning that supports life and nature. That's what it is. The reasoning that wants to serve the uplift of nature and life, men of logic, loosely speaking. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 1, created from a single soul. So in scripture, God is also telling the man that not only has he forgotten that he has to work for the survival of himself as a human person or soul, he has forgotten he must work for the survival of his flesh. The man was treating his woman as though she belonged not to his flesh. However, the man was not mistreating his woman because his flesh had gotten off the track. He was mistreating her because his inner person has gotten off the track. So the male needs a female to reproduce himself. But God was letting the man now that he was going to produce something that would have the ability to reproduce its mate out of itself. Therefore, although it functions like a male, it also has the power to act within itself and function as a female. So this is the prophet who produces a society out of his divine knowledge, which then reproduces other humans. In Bible, the prophet is called she because he can function as both. So the main role of the leader is to function as a male, which is to give the germ of life to society. So when there is no society to receive the germ, he has to put himself in the society and feed himself. How? Before one gives his germ, he gives his body so that they will be a receptor to receive his germ. The Quran Surah, Ayat 4, Ayat 1, mankind from one soul. So Genesis 2, 21 to 23. Eve helped meet Eve from rib. God is not some weird magician that brings earth together, turns it into flesh, all of a sudden reaches in it, and then take out a rib from a person that he has already made complete. If he needed that rib, why didn't he leave it out in the first place? So that is the description of someone doing hazardous work or a patched-up job. To take a man saying that we need a woman, then go back into the man and tear his chest open to take his, and to take a rib out to make a woman. So what is written in the Genesis on Adam is wisdom, and it makes a lot of sense when you interpret it rightly. But without the knowledge you read the language properly, you are lost. What is the rib and what is this Adam? So this Adam is Jesus, the prophet, deep sleep. So this Adam is Jesus, the prophet that God made. After making him, he turned him over to the world. The man was complete and perfect. God made him. But when he turned his body, his teaching, his thoughts, his mind over to the world, it fell under a deep sleep. It was only perfect and right as long as it was in Jesus, and Jesus was with God. Once Jesus was taken away from God, meaning that he left the world, passed away, or died, the Jesus of the particular body of scriptural knowledge, wisdom, and understanding was given to the world. The world is a God. The world is called a God. In the world, it fell under deep sleep and began to have a desire. It felt lonely, and it needed or wanted something. So the book says in Genesis that it is not good that the man should be alone. This means that it is not good that the early Christian community should be lonely and suffering like it was. What God is this speaking? This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church. So Adam himself, and he was already dead divinely. So the birth of the life was not as the Bible Genesis would make you think. The birth of divine origin. So this birth was the birth of a grafted world order. It was the birth of something false and contrary to divine. So man should not be alone. Help meet his environment. So the man comes to life and he saw a need for a wife. The Bible doesn't say wife. It says that the man should not be alone. The man felt lonely. He needed something for himself. The Bible says that God made for him a help meet in the early part of Genesis. The word helpmeet is referring to the physical environment that we come into. It is not referring to a woman as you have been taught. It goes on to refer to a physical environment in its higher evolution. So first, there is nothing but simple earth, crude, raw creation. Later, this woman is called the religious church or the religious body. Also, the woman is called the biological woman or the man's physical wife. But physical wife is the least thing that this book, Bible, is talking about. The main thing it is talking about is the Christian church, to which the rib a woman was made. So the book says that the man went into a deep sleep. After he went into a deep sleep, a rib was taken out of him with the rib a woman was made. Do you know that there are people, some of whom are intelligent and who are foolish enough to really believe this actually happened that way? So this is possible because they were raised to think in such a way. You can't bring a man from China who has never raised in a Christian community and tell him that story and get him to accept it that way. You will confuse him so much, he will speak some language that won't even be. So help meet his material growth alone now because it is small, persecuted, and suffering. So we have to give it a help meet. There is much in this, but we don't have the time to give it all to you. The help meet was material growth and material accumulation. The church needed for some material wealth. So bone symbolic of knowledge that supports rib symbolic of sentimentality. So the scripture tells us that the woman was made from the rib of the man. Rib of the man means from one of the bones that is weak and flexible. So you bend it out of shape, and it's close to the heart. The rib is close to the heart. What bone is this, and what do we mean by bone? Bone means a body of knowledge. In divine language, bone means knowledge that is strong enough to support the moral form of the people. Like your bones in your body are strong enough to support your flesh. So this God that is doing the work of a grafted, not the real God. He takes from the total body of knowledge that Jesus left in the world and weakened body of knowledge in the total body. It was what we call sentimentality, emotionalism. That's the rib that was taken out of the body of knowledge called Jesus in Genesis to make the church. So deep sleep fell on wisdom, body of knowledge. What happened is that the man, the church, turned where it was once united with God to his wife. The new church, this new church is not Jesus' body, but this church is made of Jesus' body. So the man turned to it and listened to it instead of to the God that formed Jesus himself. What happened to the true spirit? The true mind, the wisdom body, or knowledge of bodies of Jesus. So when this happened, it fell asleep. There was nothing to continue to feed it. It was no longer in touch with the divine makeup. It only had emotionalism feeding it, so it went into a deep sleep. The forbidden tree is truth mixed with knowledge. So the book says that the one tree was pointed out to the man, and he was told not to eat of it because the day that he eats of it, he will surely die. What is the forbidden tree? that if you eat of it, you will surely die. It is mixed up knowledge, lies mixed with truth. Religious truth mixed up with religious lies. It is the tree of religious lies and religious truth growing together in one tree. So when you eat the fruit of that tree, you're eating a religion, a religious body of knowledge that looks like religion. But when it goes into you, there are religious lies in that truth. It kills you spiritually. It kills you as a divine person. Oh, I don't believe that. I know I'm a good Christian. And it didn't kill me. Well, maybe you are not dead yet. But you're dying. If you hold on to Christianity, you will soon be dead. For man's three parts, will, intelligence, and wit. So they are the three parts of the man in the human form. There is willpower. There is also wit. That part of the intelligence that glorifies in its own product. It's like to show off. Wit is in man wants not a show-off thing. It was humbled and submissive, and it was agreeable with divine dictates. When it was in that form, it was upright. So serpent upright is obedient intelligence, later called curse, to lick the dust. So in Genesis, the serpent is described as an upright serpent before it committed sin. Remember that the serpent here is not wit, but obedient intelligence. So when the serpent committed sin, it was cursed to go on its belly in the earth according to the Genesis. So this means that if you turn your intelligence into a tool too much with the divine being, you will fall down on the earth. For God will no longer feed your intelligence. You won't remain upright. It won't have the power to stand up against the gravity of materialism. It will fall down on the earth, like crawling like a snake, and it will be cursed to lick the dust. That means that it will be cursed to feed upon nothing but materialism, and that will prevent the continuation of its divine growth. So willpower, first obedience, wit not always intelligence. So we have in the story the willpower. Originally, it was will in the man that was given to creation by God from his own will. So the will comes into the world, becomes intelligent, and was upright until it rebelled against its own maker. So when it rebelled against its maker, intelligence fell down to wit. So wit is not always intelligent. Let's see if we can give you something that will help you to see this. Even in our common talk today, we may speak of another person as being a low creature, still carrying this old language from thousands of years ago. We mean that he goes like a snake on the ground, out of view, crawling so he can hide in the grass. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 1, reverence the wound that bore you. 1 Samuel 2:5, the barren has borne 7. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that was hungry ceased. So that the barren has borne 7, and she that has many children was waxed fleeable. Woman, woe, man means woe of mine. Woe unto man. So Genesis 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her into the man. Made he a woe man, just like Adam didn't turn out to be what he intended the first time. The woe man, I did not say woman. Most people don't say woman the way women are, and that is because the Christian went astray from the path. So in the opening prayer, we say, for all occasions, not of those who went astray. The Christians went astray and got the wrong idea about the woman and started calling her woe man, the woe of man or mine, woe unto man. So the woman is a woe of man, a womb of man. Mother brings the child to a second womb. Now, we didn't do that. Those who strayed did that. So when you study the natural function of woman from human society, she is the womb. Every life comes from her, male and female, high and low. She gets them first. And she has to pass them on to us, right? And if she is a good mother, she will pass her child on to us after she has brought that child through a second womb. So the first womb is her natural womb. That is, she takes that child into her loving care. And she raises and disciplines him to protect him from the hard life. Mother wit, woman passes to her child. So man is not really a world, but worlds. So she gives him a beginning in the road of knowledge. And that knowledge she gives him, we call it mother wit. So after she passes him out, presses him out of the womb of her home, the traditional knowledge that has been passed down to the mother, whatever knowledge she has of the spirit, God's religion, whatever experience she has herself, her learning, the tries to say the best of that to her child, so that when her child goes from her and follows father out there in the streets with the man who are not really a world but words, the house is a world. If it is the good house, the street is not a world, but words. He's going to run into many words in the street. So she knows all of these worlds don't agree. They are in conflict with each other, others, and her child needs protection. So she gives the child the best of herself, so that her child will survive when it goes out into the world. That's because it is many worlds that differ ones with others. It's a jungle, a wild wilderness, so to speak. So Genesis 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman, because he was taken out of man. In scripture, at first, he made a woman. He didn't get the woman. He are getting the woman now. So the man did not say, Adam said, this is now bones of my bones. Here it makes us believe that woman to make, to take out. Woe means to take out. But you can't find a definition for that anywhere. So it's not the definition, but there is something implied, hinted here. Since the woman was separated from the man, now she is no more whole with the man, no more agreeable with the man, so she is woe of the man. I want you to know, sisters, this is not talking about you as a female or as a flesh biological being. The barren has borne seven. Hannah is a society unable to produce a prophet. Society is called woman. Woman childless can be mother to her husband. Let us look at another thing in the Bible that is very important. I want to repeat down from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5. Barren means a woman who was not able to have a child or did not have one until that time. He was blessed. Who is this talking about? This is talking about Hannah. And I know you have heard the song, Hard-Hearted Hannah. I'm not talking about that Hannah, who is the vamp of Savannah, Georgia. Hannah was a woman whose barren she had not given birth, and she was growing old, and she had not her husband with a child. So she wanted a child. This made her bitter because she didn't have a child. So this is the woman's nature. If they cannot give birth, what are they here for? They are here to have children. Most of them don't know that just simply because their physical individual womb cannot deliver does not mean that they should not have children. She is a woman. She still has her nature. She has all of the power, the faculty, and all of the sentiments of a woman. So the motherly nature and the motherly knowledge is there. So if she wants to be a mother, all she has to do, since she does not have a child, be a mother to her husband. Her husband needs a mother. The husband leaves his mother. He misses her. Don't think that when a man leaves his mother, he does not miss her. So when I'm talking about now, I read this verse to get on another subject, and it is guess what is a prophet and how is prophets born. We have a woman here, Hannah, who is really of society, and it hasn't been able to give birth or realize amongst them a prophet, a godly inspired man who is able to give them inspired knowledge. So the society calls woman. So when you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and you will see the society is called woman. Seers are called women. Society becomes your mother. Judge becomes your father. Science are called women. Why? Because when you leave your home, or if you are born an orphan, or if you are a child in the street without parents, was going to be your mother. Society will grow up and leave your father's house, whose houses you come under. You come under the rule of society. Society becomes your mother, and the judge becomes your father. And if the mother turns you over to the father, you get the whipping. I'm just trying to help you so that you can read this book and make some sense of it. Sadaqallahu al-Adeem. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this, inshallah, tomorrow at 7 p.m. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.